AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Well, the Kirk Cousin era has ended in Minnesota, and I can't even read the the tone of Michael Broadcorp's tweet messages to me as this was happening today. But he is kind enough to join us today to talk about the end of the Cousins era. Hi, Michael. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing better. You were there with me when I needed you. You gave me some comfort and solace. Thank you for getting it through. Thank you for helping me through it, brother.
No,
I'm here on the other side.
No, well, can I say I'm going to create a new term. I'm copywriting it. It's called the Sydney Sweeney paradox, okay? So you and I are both, you know, loving family men. But say that you were on your own out one night and you see Sydney Sweeney, the relatively attractive actress, and you say to her, you know what, I'm going to ask her out for dinner. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'll get something, you know, reasonable here in town. And she says, well, if you want to go on out, you need to take me to Paris, take me to the most expensive restaurant in Paris, get me the most expensive meal there in Paris. You know, you got to say to yourself, well, there's no guarantee this is going to lead to a relationship. It's going to drain my bank account. And would I really be that happy anyway? So I think what we have done is we've avoided the Sydney Sweeney paradox as Vikings fans with Kirk Cousins, because there is no way on the planet I'm willing to pay Kirk Cousins what the Atlanta Falcons just did.
No, by the way, that's a great little setup you did there. You should take complete ownership of that phrase. Look, Matt, I think it was you. We discussed the range of, I think in one of the final episodes that we discussed, once again with the Vikings not making it to the Super Bowl, we discussed the range, and if memory serves me, I thought you were in close to maybe 2 year, 75, maybe 80-ish million dollars. I think that's kind of where you were. This, my mouth dropped because I thought that was a very reasonable take you had as to where the contract would land. When I heard this, I about fell over. And yeah. Because at that point, I'm like, I couldn't be mad at Cousins. I mean, good for him. It's a heck of a deal for him.
Oh, yeah. No, it is.
I mean, it's 4 year, $180 million. deal includes $50 million signing bonus. I mean, that's big money.
$100 million guaranteed. $100 million. No, and to my credit, what I said is, I said 2 years at $65 million, which you said, if we could get him for that in a heartbeat. I think
yes.
The Vikings were not that far away from us. I think they were, what, 2 years for $78 million. And I'm not sure how much of that was guaranteed. But, you know, come on. Okay. But I understand what he's doing. If you're an Atlanta fan and you think this is going to lead to a Super Bowl, he clearly is only doing this. He's realizing he's got a finite time left in the league. He's looking for his big nest egg. He's looking for guaranteed money, which was a big part of this deal. And he's also got an Achilles, which is not an ACL or an MCL. It's not like one of those foot nerve things. But it is an injury that has, like, I can think about, like, a 30% recurrence rate. And so, yeah, it's more likely that, especially if it's good training, a good surgery, that he's going to be back. But you're taking a huge risk on a 35-year-old quarterback to pay him that much money. And the last I checked, the Atlanta Falcons don't really have the weapons that Kirk Cousins is going to need to basically be able to turn them into the Viking South.
Yes, and let me ask you this. This is the gauge by, I think, whether we should judge this contract. If this deal had been announced in Minnesota to keep Cousins here, what would have the reaction been?
This town, there would have been pitchforks and torches in the street, my friend.
Yeah, so that's kind of where it's at. I mean, because I thought you had staked out. I mean, you were a little south of where the Vikings number was. But if the Vikings ponied up this amount of money today for Kirk Cousins, I probably would have been more upset at them signing Kirk Cousins with this contract than I was initially to the reaction of him leaving. Because once I realized what the dollar figure was, I was like, goodness gracious. I mean, that would have been foolish for the Vikings to do that. And,
yeah,
you know, God bless Cousins. Great job. He got the money that he wanted. And I'm not going to ever challenge he and his agent's negotiating style.
Yeah.
But my goodness, that's a lot of coin there. That's a lot of Kohl's cash.
You know, I was anticipating, and I don't know if you were as well, but I was anticipating a 2 year, $92 million deal. The Vikings are going to keep Cousins, and they're going a lot higher than I wanted to, But I kind of was like, all right, that's not exactly the easiest contract to swallow, but you keep him in-house. The second you saw the amount of money the Atlanta Falcons are willing to throw at him, it's like, you know, good luck. And, you know, there, as Vikings fans, sure, there is that chance that all of a sudden it starts the Atlanta Falcons dynasty. Sure, I don't think it's going to. But as well, on the other side of it, I could see the guy in his first regular season game going down again on his Achilles, and that's the end of it. And, you know, and he's got $100 million guaranteed, which will cripple that franchise. I mean, Atlanta is not exactly a franchise that makes good decisions either. So I think you're right. The fact that the Vikings said, well, good luck, Kirk, is that was a good plan, and immediately turned around and got some defensive players.
They did. They signed some defensive players. And again, we're coming into the third season of Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell here. This is they've made a bold decision here. And one of the things that I think that's been a central theme, I think, of being a Vikings fan has been that just their inability to really break through. And this has the potential to be one of those defining moments in Vikings history. This will either be an addition to another book about all the sad things that have ever happened in Minnesota sports, or this will be a definitive moment that they will be judged by. And we'll see what happens in this upcoming season. Obviously, the biggest hole they need to fill is in the quarterback spot now, but they did make some additional moves today on the defensive side, which were good. Mm-hmm. And so I go back to our discussions. I think we commiserated a lot about Kirk Cousins. And so when this happened today, you were the first person I sent a DM to. It would have been nice to keep him here, but not at that dollar figure.
No,
not at that dollar figure. It would not. I don't think we would have felt good about that. but God bless him for getting the money that he did. But I don't think long term that's a building block for the Vikings. And again, I'll say it just to repeat it. Had that been the dollar figure that had been announced today for Cousins, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
This time would have been lit up.
Oh, this would have been. Okay, I'm going to ask you really quick. How many wins does Atlanta have next year?
Oh, I mean, they've won, what, 9 games? I think they won. I mean, I think they'll do very well. I mean, they'll make 10-plus, very likely 10-plus. I mean, they won 9, I think, last season. So it's pretty hard-pressed to think that you're going to bring Cousins in, assuming that he passes all the physicals and he returns to his capabilities. It's difficult for me to think that they win less games than they did last season with Cousins there. So 10 plus.
I think 10 max. I think they might have gotten themselves one more win. But the reality is, unless you've got someone he can throw that ball to, and unless you got a better defense than Atlanta has, you got the Saints and the Tampa there. And, you know, Carolina's the AFC and NFC South equivalent of the Bears. So I don't think that's going to be too much of a trouble for them. But I mean, they need to, you've just spent $180 million, $100 million guaranteed. And now you're going to look for bargain basement price guys to put around this guy. Yeah, good luck. You're not going to be able to find that. So
no, absolutely. No. So I think it's really going to be interesting to see what the Vikings do. It's really going to see what the Vikings do to fill that quarterback spot.
Texans Jonathan Greenard and Dolphins Andrew Van Ginkle, the two edge rushers we picked up, and also Blake Cashman, the former Eden Prairie player, former Texans player. He is now back in the fold. And yeah, what this does is, you know, you take that $78 million they were offering him, and immediately you dramatically upgrade your defense. I think you do need a little secondary help there. The question is this. It does seem like they're going to be able to get one of these good quarterbacks out of this draft. Whether they get the good one or Ryan Leaf, we'll have to see. But the question now comes in the running game. Do they go out and find, and Patrick mentioned earlier, them finding a veteran running back to come into the game? Do you agree with that? That's their main focus right now, is finding a running back and then looking at the draft to get the QB fixed?
Absolutely. I think that's the strategy. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the draft. Which question is where they go in the draft and what number that they get in the draft, where they get those quarterbacks. This is a very, I think most analysts, I guess we'll defer to Mel Kiper, but I think most analysts believe that this is a draft. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft. And so we'll see where we end up in the draft and what we ultimately get. But there's real opportunities here for the Vikings to really move beyond Cousins. And, you know, let's not romanticize, you know, Cousins' record here.
Yeah.
It wasn't You know, I think it's fair to say that I think what made Cousins so likable was he was likable. I think that he really dug into the Minnesota persona. He's got that kind of Midwestern kind of a charm and appeal. He was likable. He was just overall a good guy. But at the end of the day, he left for Georgia, and God bless him. But again, there's a real opportunity for the Vikings. But as he leaves, let's not forget the reality of Cousins' record.
Yeah, and that's a reminder. At the beginning of last year, there were a lot of people that were saying, "Don't sign him again." You know, yeah, just you know, don't sign him again. There were already people lining up on that level, and he didn't. He got one playoff victory. That was it. I mean, he had two losses, including that god awful one to the Giants. And so, yeah, I think you have to put that in perspective. One last question on this. If in the draft, what quarterback is there one that you're like, oh, if this one can get to us, I'd love that one?
I defer to you. What's your take first? Knicks. You go first.
I want Knicks. I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I watched a few of his games this last year, and I said, you know, the guy's got, he's, you know, if he takes it seriously, he's got the arm and some of the accuracy. I think he could pull it off. And so I, you know, and I guarantee you what you and I know. I mean, we're kind of armchair guys. I'm just going off what I see. Better spots of talent would might pick me apart on that, but that's the Bo Nix is the way I was looking at.
Yeah, Bo Nix would be a great pick. I mean, everyone would love Williams, anyone would like Daniels, but boy, Bo Nix I think would be that's a good place to land.
Yeah.
He would be good. I don't know where, I think most people think Bo Nix is, if he's not top five, he's certainly top six or seven. Mm-hmm. But that would be a reasonable place for the Vikings to land. Mm-hmm. And Bo Nix would be a good compromise. I mean, in terms of that, I think it's tough. I think there's a lot for the Vikings to get in. Again, in a QB-dominated draft, or a lot of good quality quarterbacks in the draft, a Bo Nix, I think is just outside the top five range. I think the Vikings would have to do a lot and give up some things. They'd have to give up a lot to get to that top five. And so I think that Bo Nix might be a good landing spot for the Vikings.
Yeah.
That would be a really good landing point. I kind of agree with that analysis.
Okay. So I appreciate it. We've gotten that out of our system. I want to ask you about the flag thing. So Minnesota's got the new state flag. I've got it flying at my house. It's actually quite a pretty flag. You and I talked about the flag before. Neither one of us thought this was our design. There was other designs that were put out there, but we went through the process with it, and it's kind of growing on me. I definitely don't think it's a bad flag per se. That being said, and when you look at the committee that was put together, I mean, guys, you know, just a bunch of liberals pushing this forward. This was a just a bunch of liberals pushing this forward. This was an idea where they went and got people across the state, different political ideologies, and they came up with this flag, and that's the one that they have. There is this element, and I don't know if it's just because they don't really have a lot of other things that they can talk about, but the Minnesota GOP is trying to make this flag into some sort of dividing line. They had an incredibly embarrassing rally at the state capitol last week. And yet they're still trying to push this idea that we should have some sort of state vote on it, which has already been kind of knocked down. Your thoughts on this? I mean, am I missing something in regards to outrage over this flag? Because the reality is, I just don't think this is the issue that's going to push the GOP over the top.
I will say this to you. And I've been, pretty straight with my analysis as best I can down the middle. I think that this flag issue really, really rubs people on both sides of the aisle. I've spoken to Republicans and I've spoken to Democrats. I will say to you that the flag, for some reason, is just an issue that seems that people, I think, are just, they look at it and it's tough for them to just kind of wrap their arms around it. I don't see the downside of there being an election strategy about focused on the flag. Now, people can have opinions on the current flag versus the old flag. But I just have to say, for some reason on this flag issue, I have just noticed that this is an issue that seems to just not cut across partisan lines, because I've spoken to both Democrats and Republicans who are less than enthusiastic about the process. Now, that being said, I don't think it's the ticket for the Republicans to win the majority. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's an issue that – I don't believe it's an issue that Minnesotans are going to go and vote for people into office or out of office because of it. But it's one of those kind of quirky political issues that I think could, in a particular part of the state, really become a little bit of a wedge issue, because I've been surprised by it. I've been surprised by just the intensity of it. And, of course, there are people who want the old flag, but I also think there's a passionate amount of people who are frustrated with the process that this went through. Mm-hmm. And nothing like Minnesotans to complicate a flag debate, but for some reason, I think from a process standpoint, I think it frustrates people. But to agree with it, I do not believe it is a massive electoral juggernaut for either political party. Mm-hmm. Maybe somewhat of a wedge issue in some parts of the state. I don't know, but I do believe that this could be the type of issue that kind of cuts across. But I don't think it's a marquee issue. Mm-hmm. During the upcoming election cycle, by any stretch of the imagination.
I think you're trying to take advantage of the fact that it's a process that no matter what it is, I mean, just not everyone's going to agree on it. It's what's your favorite ice cream, that kind of a question. There's always going to be a lot of different answers to that. And so
let's be clear, Matt. There's one answer on ice cream. It's chocolate.
Yeah, it's chocolate.
And if anyone says to the contrary, then we're
going
to have problems.
You see bipartisanship right here. But I will say this is you're taking advantage of a situation where there's never going to be 1,000% agreement on the flag, no matter what. And so you can kind of try to turn that. It just when you had that rally and you had basically 20 people show up.
Yes.
I mean, it was at lunchtime at the Capitol. Not even a lot of Republican politicians came down for that. I don't think that there's a lot of, especially suburban
Correct.
Districts, I just don't think that this is an issue that they want to try to ride this into November.
Correct. I would agree with you. I don't think it's the type of issue that's going to get people, obviously, to come to the Capitol and advocate for. And I would absolutely agree with your take. As someone much smarter than me once said, a camel is a horse that's designed by a committee. And so you can't get everything to everyone. And so it's this flag process, but it has been, it's in classic Minnesota fashion, it's become complicated. And we'll see where it goes. I don't think it's the type of issue that's going to motivate people to come to the state capitol, and stand outside in the cold to try to change. But it's a kind of a quirky issue. And I think there are people on both sides, but just in terms of a mobilizing force, I don't think it's going to be an issue that's going to be on the radar screens of a ton of Minnesotans when they go and vote next year.
I think it's a great line, by the way. A camel is a horse by committee. That is actually an exceptional line. Whoever gave that to you, give them a lot of credit.
Yes.
Michael Broadcorp, of course, find his website. You can find this text. I don't know. We might be talking to you about Viking stuff before the season starts again. And as well, we'll always be touching base with you about politics stuff throughout the entire year. Michael, as always, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for being there for me in the immediate aftermath of this news. You were there for me, and I appreciate it. I won't forget it.
No problem. Michael Broadcorp, my friend, we'll take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Oh.